let's just kind of relax, take a deep breath for a minute. And one of the most important things we can do is remember what our purpose is and why we came in the first place. Course in Miracles teaches that the one question we should bring to every situation or circumstance is, what is it for? What is the purpose? Why am I doing this? Why am I here? I'm not in the park. So why did you come? Be real clear with yourself why you came today. That's the most important thing. What is it you want to see differently? Who is it that you want to see differently? What is it that you want to see differently? Who is it that you want to see differently? What is it that you want to see differently? Who is it that you want to see differently? We're going to be on page 44 in the teacher's manual. Would you mind turning that off, please?
What's the chapter?
It's in the teacher's manual, section 17. Page 44, how do God's teachers deal with magic thoughts? So how do you deal with the fearful, insane, crazy thoughts that you have, and how do you deal with the insane, crazy thoughts that other people have? That's what we're going to talk about today. To me, that's pretty worthwhile. So we'll start at paragraph 3. The Course in Miracles starts out by telling you where it's actually easiest to let an error be corrected. It says, easier to let an error be corrected wherever it is most apparent. So the easiest error to be corrected is actually the error that's most obvious to you. The easiest mistake for you to correct in yourself is the mistake in yourself that's most obvious to you. It's a mistake. The hardest mistakes to correct are the ones we don't admit to. So the easiest mistake is the one you're willing to admit that you made. So it says, and you can tell when you made an error by its result. So that's how you can tell. Did I make a mistake? Well, what's the result? Do I feel good or do I feel bad? Am I having peace or not? So let me get this straight. The easiest mistake for me to have corrected in my life is the one that I'm making that's most obvious to me. And I can tell I'm making a mistake by the results. Then it says, if you have really learned your lesson, the only thing it leads to is you being released and the other person being released. So if you really got it, then you feel freer and everybody else is freer too. Okay? Then it goes on to say, the reason why you even have the release, it's because you and your pupil, or you and the other person, you shared one intent. You had one goal. There's no way you won't have peace with another person who wants to have peace with you. You see what I mean? He said, if you share the same intent, then eventually you're going to have a release in the situation. If I don't want to argue with you and you don't want to argue with me, we're not going to argue. It's no way we can share the same goal. And, you know, it's like I don't really believe there's any insurmountable problem, especially in relationships after reading the Course. It's just that the two people involved are not really both dedicated to having peace in that situation. What they're dedicated to is being right and having their own way. Probably. But they haven't said, you want peace with me? Yeah, I want peace with you too. We're not going to let nothing come between our peace. You know, it's like that's the kind of agreements that I've been trying to make with the people that are closest to me in my personal life. Because I realize that as we begin to get deeper into spiritual truth, then we're going to be bringing up more and more stuff out of each other that need to be released. And unless we make an agreement that we're not going to be fooled by the stuff that's coming up to be released, that we're going to hang in there even though the stuff is going to come up to be released, then we'll become afraid to express what's going on inside of each other because we'd be afraid of losing each other. Does it make sense? So I'm having to get it straight with the people that I'm most intimate with that, you know, even if your stuff come up, I know we got the same goal, I'm not going nowhere. So you can feel safe enough to let your stuff come up because we both really sincere now about trying to love each other. And love brings up everything unlike itself. So the minute you get sincere about love, then everything's not love's got to come up to be released. And that's when people get fooled and think the situation is getting worse instead of better. And they don't really realize what's being happening is everything that's keeping them from loving each other all the time is coming up to be released. So the Course talks about how when you ask the Holy Spirit to come in, or God to come into your relationships or whatever, so the first thing that's going to happen is that Spirit is going to be so glad that you finally want to be happy that it's going to move as fast as it can before you change your mind, you know. then the Course says it's going to make your relationship seem real disturbed and disjunctive and even quite distressing. And he says, and the reason why it's so distressing is that you realize how opposite your relationship is to where you want to be. It's like you decide to be happy and you go, oh my God. I mean, this relationship, how am I going to pull that off, right? He says, and your ego is going to advise you that what you need to do is get rid of this brother. And then you're going to have some peace. Now, if you make the agreement to stick together through the illusion, then you realize that the Course told you that some stuff was going to come up between you and that you weren't supposed to pay any attention to it. Now, that's not the same as being told to get rid of a brother who won't decide to have peace with you. I'm saying don't get rid of a brother that's sincere to decide to have peace with you, because a brother that's a sister, whatever you want to call it, that's decided to have peace with you, they're not going to be opposing you anyway. They're going to want peace as much as you do in the relationship, so they're going to be working as diligently as you are to see if y'all can resolve whatever the difference is. So you won't mind sticking it out with them because y'all share the same goal. But if you're in a relationship with somebody that don't want to share the goal of peace with you, and that boy says get rid of them, that might be God. You never can tell. Because I don't see what kind of sense it makes to hang around somebody that doesn't want peace and doesn't want to join you on peace. And you got a choice. You know, some things we just have to deal with, like our children. But, not saying that those little darlings are always just sugar and spice to be around. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of the Course calls those level 3 relationships. Those are lifelong relationships where you get unlimited opportunities to correct yourself. That's what he called these parents and relatives. You know, those are unlimited opportunities. So, but he says most of our relationships are going to be temporary. And so we should stop tripping so hard about every relationship not lasting. Because the Course says that it's normal to come together, have a real intense relationship, learn as much as you can from each other, and then separate. So that's really natural. And if we'd be honest, we'd be really honest, forget being idealistic and just be honest, we'll recognize that most of our mistakes, and most of our, same thing, little slip, most of our relationships, most of our relationships are temporary. We do come together, have an intense teacher-learning situation. He said we learn as much as we can from each other at the time, he says, and then we appear to separate. So that is very rare to have lifelong relationships with people in the body. So it's like, in a sense, we have this unreasonable goal of having a lifelong relationship with everybody we meet. And actually, we're more realistic to be okay with the relationship being temporary, knowing that you've learned as much as you can from each other right now, so it looks like you're separating, but you're going to heal. Does it make sense? And you can tell pretty much when you've stayed with the relationship longer than you should, when they had a hand around your throat with a knife in it. You might be a hint that you may have overstayed your welcome in that relationship. So when it gets to the point that there's a lot of violence and fighting, you probably letting that second level last longer than it's supposed to last. So then it says that attack can enter only if perception of separate goals has entered. Attack can enter only if perception of separate goals has entered. So that means that if you and me have, you and me must have had two different goals. If we got anger and attack coming down, we both got two different goals. Attack can't happen until we have two different goals. And he says you must have separate goals if the result is anything but joy. So if you have anything but joy in the relationship, both of you and the other person have different goals. Then it goes on to say, the single aim of the teacher turns the divided goal of the pupil into one direction with their call for help becoming their one appeal. So I have a single goal of seeing anything you do as a call for help. My goal is to see everything everybody does as being some kind of a call for help. He says, then if I see everything that you're doing as a call for help, then there's only one answer to your call for help. And he says, that answer is going to enter my mind immediately. If I see what you're doing as a call for help, what will I want you to have? Peace or help. Right? Right? And he says, and that idea shines into the pupil's mind, and it makes the pupil's mind one with your mind. So all I have to do to become one with your mind is to realize that everything that you're doing is a call for help. And so I see it as a call for help. You are making a call for help, so our mind is now one. You're making a call for help. I see it as a call for help. Our minds are now one. So let's go back over that paragraph real quick. Okay, who could tell me, is it, let me just yes and no, make it real easy. Is it easiest to let your mistake be corrected where it's the most obvious?
Yes.
Okay, all right. If that's the truth, then can you tell whether or not you screwed up by the result?
Yes.
Okay. So if you're really doing it right, does it lead to freedom and release for you?
Yes.
And really the other person too, because when you release yourself, you're going to release them. Okay. So if me and you are fighting all the time, do we have different goals?
Yes.
Okay. And is it true that we must have different goals because they neither one of us happy?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So my goal, the once I realize we're unhappy, my goal, the once I realize we're arguing all the time, then my goal is to see everything that you're doing is as a call for help. Because if I see everything that you're doing, even though I'm mad, you acting crazy, I want to act crazy, I got to see it as a call for help. Because the minute I see it as a call for help, and then I want to answer that call for help. I see it as a call for help. I want you to be answered. Then we have one mind. You calling for help, I want some help too. So we got one mind. We both want the same thing. We both want help. Okay. So any questions about that paragraph, about clarification of that paragraph?
It seems like a contradiction.
Okay, how does it seem like a contradiction?
Because first you're saying you don't have the same intention, and that somebody's calling for help. And when you realize there's a call for help, you realize you do have the same intention.
And that, okay, think of it in terms of steps, and then it's not contradictory. The reason, at first, me and you having an argument about something, which means we don't have the same goal in that moment. We got two different goals in that moment. Okay, so that means that there's something you're doing or saying that, frankly, I don't like or I don't agree with. Because we're arguing. We're not seeing out of that, right? So then the minute I see that happening, next step is to see anything that you're saying as being a call for help, a call for God. Yeah, immediately. It's like, me and you not meeting right now. We must have separate goals. We know we must be making a mistake because the mistake can be recognized where it's most obvious. It is most obvious where you can see its results. And the result is me and you don't like each other right now. So that means there's some kind of error being made. And the error being made is that you and me don't share the same intent right now. We're really not putting peace first. Okay, so now all of a sudden, me and you're not having peace with each other, right? So then immediately I leap up another level of consciousness and go, so every crazy thing she's saying, everything that upsets me, everything she's doing that's a disagreement, I'm going to see that as a call for help. I'm going to see that as a call for the help of God. Okay, got that? So then I'm seeing what you're doing as a call for help. And then in my mind, I'm saying that this is a call for help that should be answered. Well, all of a sudden, I just made your mind one with mine. Because all of a sudden, both of us won't help. So did that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? That's how you get rid of the contradiction. You get rid of the contradiction by realizing that this is happening in steps.
Yeah, if you pay attention to the illusion, it's a contradiction.
Yeah, if you look at it in terms of the fact that we're being told how to react when we're in a situation that we're not having joy in, and notice that all of the solutions that we were just given, all you had to do was look at it that way in your mind. Notice it didn't say nothing about you getting that other person to see it that way. It said, I don't care what you're saying, I can see it as a call for help. I don't care what you're saying, I can see it as a call for God. And so the minute I see it as a call for God, a call for peace, then now again, me and you share the same intent. We both want peace. You're upset because you want peace, and I'm upset because I want peace. I realize we both want peace. Now we have one intent. Now we have one mind. Because what we're trying to do is, we're trying to open up a space where the Holy Spirit, God, the higher power, can come in and work in our lives in a very obvious way in our perception. I think that sometimes that's what people miss with the Course in Miracles. They still think the Course in Miracles is about you figuring out how to do it on your own. And they don't realize that what it's trying to do is create a space so God can do some stuff, so the Spirit can come through and work. That's why I'm turned on about it. I'm not turned on about it because I want most stuff for Earl to do by himself. And can Earl get smart in handling all the different illusions that's going to come up this week? Now, I want my higher self, my greater self, if there's a such thing as God, I want God to work in my life. And this book is telling me how I can get rid of the blocks to love working in my life. It's not telling me what I need to do to save myself again in terms of what my personal ego can come up with.
Have a vision of like opening up in the light.
There you go. That's exactly what it's trying to do. If you were to look at the Course in Miracles like that, it'd be much easier to study. It would be. Okay, thank you. Anybody else have any questions about that paragraph?
What happens when both people are in the situation and both are asking for help and only one is seeing it?
Your first job is to recognize that what they're doing is a call for love, and then you do whatever is expedient in that moment the Spirit tells you to do to bring you the most peace. That might be you need to go get in the car and drive away and go to the park for a little while or go to a movie. Or it might be, who knows? The actual behavioral instructions vary from situation to situation. And Spirit is going to tell you what you should do in every particular situation. But what Course is telling us is the attitude that you need to take that will allow Spirit to tell you what to do in that moment and you'd be able to hear it.
Well, obviously, if we could all tell when we were asking for help to begin with, it would get us to the end a lot better.
And that's exactly what we're being taught to do. We're being taught how to recognize that all this crazy stuff that we're looking at is a call for help. You're right. But we have to be taught that because we're taught that it's just attack. We're not taught that it's call for love. We're taught that it's just attack that calls for punishment. So you're right. If everybody saw it as a call for help, the world would be a much better place. But let's face it, they don't. So now, you know something what's so cool about this, though? I'm telling you, I don't have to worry about whether or not you see it as a call for help or you see it as a call for help. This book is not asking me to do anything but change my mind. I'm telling you, every time you think other people, as soon as other people come out of your mouth, you know that just you're in trouble. As soon as you go, well, what about my mama? Or what about that? As soon as you do that, ego speak, because you haven't practiced the truth long enough to see what would happen if you practice it. You know, it's like you haven't even applied the truth to yourself. How do you know what would happen with that other person if you actually applied the truth? You don't even know. You already discount what might happen before you even try. That's what's so deep, but that's how my mind do. Does your mind do that too? It's like it'll discount it before, and you know you haven't practiced it, but you'll be looking for the results of practicing it. And you know you haven't practiced it how? Consistently. You know you haven't applied it consistently, but you want all the results. In other words, I want the results of what would happen if I really did something before I do anything. And then I'm mad because it don't work. Isn't that funny? Yeah. I think it's funny. See, everybody else don't get it. It's kind of funny to me. That seems dead serious. You know. Maybe I'm the only one getting this joke today. It's the hardest thing in the world to laugh at ourselves. And the Course says that's how we got here in the first place, was that it was a joke. We forgot to laugh at it, took it as a serious idea. So that's how we ended up in the world. We're spiritual beings. We are unlimited consciousness. We are not just physical human beings. We are now in a human form because we forgot who we are. And we're playing like we're separate. And the only way you can pull that off is to be in bodies. So now it looks like we're in a bunch of bodies that are different from each other, so we can play the game of separation. And somewhere along the line, we forgot to laugh. And we made this all so serious. So now we think we are separate beings that's out for ourselves, trying to make sure nobody else hurts us. And so we all share in that idea, and then we create a reality that's a reflection of that idea. And so voila, now we're in a world full of a lot of conflict and attack. And then we go, well, where does it come from? The book says it comes from your own attack thoughts that you share with everybody else to share. It's the same kind of thoughts you do. You all have created a whole world based around the idea of separation and attack. And everybody who shares that idea, they see each other. And the beings that share the idea of oneness, they're in a world just as real as this one, but because they think differently from us, we don't see them. Because we attract the people like ourselves. So it looks like they don't even exist, even though they could be living next door. You don't know how many light masters stay in Capitol Hill, but you just would never run into them because of your level of consciousness. It's funny, I was in this place just yesterday having this really cool experience of sharing and oneness, and we were talking about how we really realized that the purpose of our relationship was to help each other really realize who we really were, and that it was just a prayer we should be having together. Something I marveled at the conversation that I had with my friends. And then we looked up, and there was a Buddhist monk standing right next to us with the whole outfit on, getting ready to eat some fried rice. It just tripped us out because it was so symbolic of what we had just been talking about. Because when you start interpreting your physical life as if it's a dream, then all of a sudden you will start seeing a whole new meaning to all the events that's happening in your life. It'll give you a whole new meaning. Because just like this dream interpretation, the Course says, look at this as the dream that you are awake. Last night was the dream when you were asleep. He said, you're still asleep, but now you're having the dream that you're awake. Okay, so while we're having this dream that now we're awake, the Course is saying, then realize that everything that's happening in the dream is really you giving yourself what you're asking for through other people. So that you can blame them for what you're going through, because if it was you creating it, there wouldn't be no point in blaming nobody else. So in order for me to keep my guilt to be justified, it's got to look like somebody else is doing it to me in order for me to be the victim. Now, this class is certainly not a class that's going to appeal to anybody that wants to be a victim. Okay, but everybody doesn't want to be a victim, and so this class is for those who don't want to be, not the ones who want to defend it. Because this class isn't for everybody. See what I mean? And you have to realize, you're not for everybody. Everybody's not going to like you. You got certain people that's been assigned to you that you all are going to learn lessons of love with, because it's not practical to think we're going to meet everybody in the body. So since we know we can't meet everybody in the body, the Course said, well, certain people have been assigned to you. And they'll begin to seek you and find you as soon as you make the decision that you are ready to learn how to really be happy. And you can tell that the people who are being sent to you by spirit, because the people who are sent to you by spirit need you just the way you are, because where you are is the best place for them based on their level of consciousness. So the way you are is exactly what they need to grow. So they need you just the way you are. And then that's how you learn how to have happy relationships, is when you find yourself in relationships with people who need you just the way you are. That's the secret of having a happy relationship. They like you the way you are. You're okay the way you are.
So when you get in a relationship with somebody who's the most gigantic asshole you can imagine...
Then okay, everybody, let's just try to imagine it for a minute. I saw it. Did y'all see it? The biggest one you could imagine. Okay, and go on. As you lead us through this meditation.
And I should thank the universe for sending me this great lesson about myself.
The Course in Miracles says that is exactly what you will say when you're seeing things correctly. You'll be thanking everybody who upset you, because you know they're giving you another opportunity to let go of your anger forever.
Boy, have I got a challenge in my life.
Aha! Uh-huh. Which brings, okay. Okay, now. Do you know the way that the course forces us to go to something greater than ourselves is to give us goals that are beyond our ability to do by ourselves?
I know it wouldn't be here.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not like I just gave you an impossible task. And the course says, I do that purposely, because that's going to automatically make you say, well, I can't do this by myself. Boom! That is a request for help. And so help comes, because help doesn't come until you don't want to do it by yourself. If you want to do it by yourself, ain't nobody going to help you. That's why help doesn't show up. Because people go, well, I'm going to do it by myself. I'm all on my own. I'm a self-made man. I don't need anybody. Right. Well, that's why nobody's showing up. You're getting exactly what you're asking for, and then you're mad about it. And you're complaining about nobody helping you, but you want to do everything by yourself. And you want to see yourself as on your own. So when the book says stuff like that to me, I don't know about you, but it just affected me, because it made sense. And I wasn't used to things just making sense. The course just makes too much sense. That's the problem I have with it. It makes sense. All of us can understand sense. The course says the second coming of Christ is nothing but the return of our common sense. And you said, and that's funny when you listen to that. The second coming of Christ is the return of your common sense. If we're looking for, you know, but some people are looking for like this person to come down, you know what I'm saying? Of course, no, when your common sense returns, that's the second coming of Christ. When you have some sense again, when you have sense enough to recognize that your mistakes are most easily be corrected where they're the most obvious. Number one. So your first mistake you should work on is the one that's the most obvious to you. And which one is going to be most obvious to you, Earl? It's going to be the one that's you can recognize by the result. It's bringing you something, but anything but joy. So you know that you actually need to have the same goal again. You need to go back to wanting your goal, which is peace. And peace doesn't mean contemplating your neighbor on the side of a mountain. Peace means total fulfillment according to the Course in Miracles. When it says you want, when you say I want peace, you're saying I want total fulfillment now. 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 I want peace. And then it says I want the peace of God. Then it says God is what? God is love. God is freedom. Then another part of the Course, it says God is perfect happiness. I love that. Okay, so another name for God is perfect happiness. So when I say I want the peace of God, if you interpret the Course correctly, it's saying I want the total fulfillment of perfect happiness. That's what I want the peace of God means. I want the total fulfillment of perfect happiness, because my Creator is perfect happiness. That's what created me. It's happiness. I don't know what happened, but that's what created me. You know, I took a wrong turn to Albuquerque. Something happened. I was on the road to happiness, then I met you. I don't know what happened. Yeah, I'm telling you, when you learn how to turn your day over to the Spirit and say, hey, I want you to be the one to dream my dream today. I want you to dream my life. I want you to dream of my day. You'll be amazed at the miracles that start happening. He says, before you can get to the point that you'll let God create in your life, he said, there's one little requirement. You have to be willing to see what you've done. And I went, oh, I knew it was a catch. I said one more time, he says, there is a way to see what Spirit can create in your life, which everybody says they want to see. They want to see God do its thing. They want to see the unlimited Creator really do its thing. And so the book says, okay, that's reasonable. But I'm going to tell you, but this is the step before you can see God work. You have to see what you made of the situation. You have to be willing to look at what you have made of the relationship. And that's what people don't want to do. They don't want to look at what they've made. He said, first you look at what you've made, then you're not being asked to make up something else. That's when your higher self is going to kick in. But the higher self kicks in after you've been willing to see that no one's done anything to you. What you are experiencing is the result of your own perceptions of reality. And if you're willing to see that, then the price, it was so great, the reward for being willing to look at what you've done to yourself is that everything can be corrected and healed for you. Next. So I'm at the point where I'm embracing my shadow side. I'm not running away from Earl Purdy's hate thoughts, weary thoughts, fear thoughts. It's like, no. I want to embrace my shadow. Let me take a look at it. Let me see the thoughts that I made. Okay, so that I can finally have something greater than me start to heal my mind and the situations in my life. You mean that's all the price? You mean all I have to do is be willing to look at what I've done? Yeah, that's all you have to do. And I'll tell you something else. You're not going to be willing to look at what you've done until you get really clear that you're not guilty, you're not sinful, you're not bad, this was just a mistake. Now, you're not going to be willing to look at it as long as you attach all that guilt and sin stuff to it, because then you're going to go in denial about having it so you can try to feel good about yourself. So we got to get the idea that you're innocent firmly implanted in your mind, so that when you see all the things that you've done out of your ignorance and fear, you won't attack yourself in guilt for it. Because that's why people don't want to look at it, because they think they're going to feel bad if they really look at things they think they've done to themselves and others. So you got to have a healthy belief and begin to accept the idea that it's just a mistake and not a sin before you're going to take a look at what you've done.
It's like
I got to let go of the idea that I'm a guilty person, but that I make mistakes. And mistakes can be corrected. Okay? All right, so I'm going to go to the next paragraph. Thank you for giving me a chance to share with you 25 years of obsession with A Course in Miracles. So one thing I've seen from sharing it this long is that the first thing your ego tries to do when you first get in the course is complicate it, confuse you, and make you see just contradictions and paradoxes. It was like you read something on this page and it totally contradicts what you just read on that page. And you just read a sentence up there and it seems like, you know, he talks about how the mind plays all these tricks to keep you from seeing what you're doing to your own mind so you can be free. Because I'm lazy. If the universe can do it for me and through me, and I could be myself in the meantime, and I could be sent people who just like Earl Purdy the way Earl Purdy is, and he doesn't have to change. And all of a sudden I open my eyes and I look around, I'm in a room full of people like that. See what I'm saying? You are my witnesses that it's true, because you're not asking me to change. You come in here because of the way I express myself, and the way I express myself is cool for you, and some people want to run out the door screaming as soon as they see me. And as soon as they hear me, I push every button that they have. And that's the beauty of me being myself, is that it guarantees if I'm really myself, the people that don't like me won't be around me, and that is not a loss. Don't you ever think for a second that somebody who comes to this class that doesn't like me, that doesn't come back, is in any way regretted by me. Because I used to be that way when I was insane, but I'm not that way now. I used to spend all my time trying to get the people that didn't like me to like me. And then all the people that were liking me, I was ignoring them and not giving them any attention and not going to see them and not, you know, or whatever. They were just not getting my attention. All my attention was on the people who did not please me. And one day the Course woke me up to, that's dumb, Earl. What you think about expands. What you put your energy in, you just manifest more of it. So do you want to put your energy into what you appreciate all the time, or you want to put all your energy into what's causing you conflict and a misguided belief that you have to suffer in order to be happy? No pain, no gain. Okay, set it up that way, that you don't believe you can have any growth unless you go through pain. Well, you just set up a reality where pain's going to keep coming to you so you can grow at your own request. So if you are in a situation that's painful, then ask to see that situation as painful in a way that will help you grow. But don't ever convince yourself that you had to go through the pain in order to learn the lesson. And I said, oh, okay. See the subtle difference in that? If I screwed up and I'm in a situation that's full of pain, then yes, show me how I can use this for my own best interest, because I'm in it. But I don't want to reinforce the belief that I had to suffer before I could learn the lesson. I could have learned the lesson without the suffering. You can always learn the lesson without the suffering. I said again, you can always learn the lesson without the suffering. You don't have to go through pain to gain. You don't have to go through pain to gain. You do not have to go through pain to gain. You do not have to go through pain to gain. But people who like to go through pain to gain, they don't want to hear that, because they don't want to believe all that suffering they went through was unnecessary when they've been doing it most of their life. So you better tell me my suffering served a useful purpose. Because I've done so much of it, I'd kill myself if I thought I wasted that much time. Yeah. You mean I could have got that lesson without going through that? Yes, you could have. You could have got that lesson without going through that. You see how she went over there and she touched that hot stove and it burned her finger, and you got a finger just like her, and y'all both got flesh? I guarantee you, same thing will happen to you. So you don't have to put your finger on the stove to get not to put your finger on the stove. You can learn by her example. Isn't that beautiful? But sometimes my belief that I'm so special and I'm so different will make me think I can do something that doesn't work, but it'll work for me because I'm so special. You know what I'm saying? Even though it didn't work for nobody else, it's going to work for me, but I'm special. Woo! One thing I love about special relationships is they really show you that the specialness that you get from people is from a person is a gift. and they can take it back just as quick as they gave it to you. And then sometimes you'll fool yourself into thinking like you're in control of that. And they can withdraw that gift anytime they get ready. And you go, wow. It's like a big wake-up call because you really think you got some power over them. And so special relationships have been great for showing me that I don't have a power over anybody else. And that it is a gift. The specialness is a gift. And if I want to keep the specialness, I got to keep the bargain that's making them give it to me. And if I'm willing to keep the bargain that's making them give me the specialness, I can keep on having the specialness. So I'm going to make sure if I'm going to have a special relationship, then I'm going to enter a special relationship with the person who's going to present bargains that I like to keep. If I'm going to have an unreal relationship based on bargains, the least I can do until I get to unconditional love is make sure that the bargains you give me are the bargains I want to keep. Then we won't have no problem with me keeping the bargains. And we're going to agree that we'll renegotiate our bargains as we continue to evolve. So we'll come together periodically to see what we need to renegotiate about the way that we're relating to each other in our relationship, because we might have changed in the last 6 months, and maybe now my needs and values are slightly different, and I need to introduce you to the new me, because I'm always growing. So you can't hold me to who I was 6 months ago. You need to check in from day to day to see who you with. Don't you think so? Yeah. Okay.
Hour by hour,
hopefully. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, leave me a voicemail 10 times a day. Tell me how you are right now before you come home. Tell me who's coming through the door. You know, if you love somebody, you call them ahead. You say, there's an insane person coming home in 25 minutes. You know, prepare. You know, that's what a loving person would do. You know what I'm saying? I'm crazy. I'm letting you know I'm crazy and I'm on the way home. What you want me to pick up? You're gonna have pizza with a crazy person tonight. So I just want to let you know, before I even get home. See, that's love. You're keeping people informed all the time. It's not, you're not pretending you're not going to never get upset, but you're totally willing to communicate, look, I'm upset. See the difference? You know, I would never want to be in a relationship with somebody expecting me to be happy all the time. Yeah, that'd be torture, 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 torture. A person expecting me to be peaceful all the time. Ooh, no, 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 no. I want to be in a relationship with a person who knows that sometimes I may lose my peace because I'm learning how to love just like everybody else. And they can learn how to see that it's not attack on themselves but my call for love and my call for help. I would never want to be around somebody that expected me to be perfect all the time. Ooh, that's so pitiful.
And you'll give them some of your dysfunctional love.
Yeah, I give them some of my dysfunctional love that they act right.
Okay.
Yeah. Hello? Y'all with me? Is this too real? You know, I know. Because this is real. This, the class we have is real.
Can I just throw in one thing?
Mm-hmm.
That one thing that's been a big opener to me was to see that I was in this relationship with someone, to see how he treated other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll continue to be in that relationship under the delusion that he would never do that to me.
We call that specialness.
And then have it come at me.
Mm-hmm.
100 times worse than I've ever seen it applied to anybody else.
Well, you're the most special, isn't that something?
That's it?
Yeah, that's that great. You're the most special one. That's why you get it more than anybody. Isn't that wonderful? Because you know the special love is your special hate.
Yeah.
You know, the person that gives you special love will also be the one that hates you more than anybody if they flip into fear. We all know that. We might pretend we don't know that, but we all know that. We all know that. Everything this book says is something we experience all the time.
And then you now know. To be there and trying to feel a little awake and then a little common sense returning, a little bit of ability to see the truth in him at the same time that I can distinguish that from the ego.
And you got to learn how to do that.
And then have to negotiate and relate to him.
I know. Giving you endless opportunities. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? Because he is constantly, constantly, continually forcing you to go within for your peace. He is absolutely not letting you continue to believe that your happiness depends on somebody else changing and doing what you want them to do. That's one of the hardest levels you go through on the spiritual path, when you go through the level of consciousness where you attract your worthy opponents. Right? Because everybody's got to go to that point that you got to put the rubber to the road. On the path, sooner or later, you can philosophize all you want to, but sooner or later, you're going to have to live it, right? And so you get your worthy opponents. And your worthy opponents are those people that in order to deal with them, you have to practice every single truth that you profess to be about. They demand it. You say you're all about seeing things as a call for love? All right, here I am. Can you see me as a call for love? You know what I'm saying? Mr. Course guy. You know, Mr. Course, you know. Can you see me as a call for love? You know, it's like it was so funny. I cut this guy off in traffic one day. He was going, you know, he was going crazy. You know, he was all mad and freaking out and stuff, you know, and honking and stuff. And I pulled over to the side. He pulled over behind me. And he got out of his car and he said, "Did you see me over there and you cut in front of me?" I looked at him and I said, "You know, you're absolutely right. That was really a mistake on my part. I apologize, you know." And he went, "You know, I swear to God," he said, "Okay, well, just be careful. Don't do it again, okay?" He was gone. Now, if I hadn't wanted to protect my ego, I could have kept that going. But you know what? I was wrong. I did cut him off. And I remember a time just on the principle of the fact that he was all angry and screaming and hollering and going off, that my male ego would have felt like I just had to go back at him just as hard as he came back at me. But see, I like to freak people out. You mess with the wrong person. There's nothing I love more than doing what people don't expect. I love to break people's faces, because we get so locked up into believing that everything is the way we think it is and everybody ought to be the way we think they should be. That when we see somebody act totally out of character, it freaks us out. But that's the best favor somebody could do us, would be to show us that people and things can happen beyond our perception of how things are. We need to realize that so we won't get hurt so much. You know what I mean? There's a whole world beyond your way of looking at things. There's a whole world beyond your way of looking at things. And it is totally inhabited by people who look at things different from you. And they exist. And when those jokers impinge on your reality, they freak you out because they don't act according to your rules. And that's how you know your rules aren't real. Because if somebody can break a rule, the rule isn't real. That's how you know it's not a real rule. You can't break a law of God. That's not even an option. You can misapply one. The book said you can misapply. You're using the laws of God to cause you the chaos and pain you're going through right now. You're actually using God's laws to create those laws of relationships. You're misapplying these principles, but you can't break these principles. And I go, "Thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to know some laws that work." You know, one of the reasons I love being in metaphysics was that as a minority, it's real tempting to always feel like you're a victim of the majority. And I didn't like the idea that my life depended on getting people to like me, or it looked like other people had power over me. But I loved the idea of getting in touch with universal laws that applied to everybody, whether they were male, female, black, white, dark. And that's what got me into the whole metaphysical thing. I couldn't stand the idea of walking around in the world expecting to be taken care of based on how people liked me and who I could influence and who I knew. That was like, oh my God. I remember when I was still asleep and I'd go on a job interview and I'd be about to die with nervousness, because I really believed that whether or not I got that job depended on how I impressed that guy in 5 minutes sitting in front of him in front of the interview. And I was so glad to realize it was my consciousness that could create my jobs. And if I had a consciousness of plenty, then I would always draw jobs to me whenever I needed one, and it would be the right job. Does that mean I go get a job interview in a bathing suit? No, I'm still gonna play. You still act as if you think it's real, even though you know it's not. You still keep, when you wake up in consciousness, you still keep acting like you think it's real, even though you know it's not. You realize it's folly, but all of a sudden it becomes controlled folly. Which means you know it's folly, but you got to be in control. And the way you be in control is to recognize you're not the victim of it. And that it's your game. And you better start playing your game. Because your game is set up so that it needs you just the way you are. You know, you just as well be yourself, because every other place is taken. You know what I'm saying? That makes a lot of sense, don't it? You just as well be yourself, because every other place is taken. You can't be me, and you can't be nobody else in this room. So you just as well be yourself. And in your world is set up based on who you are. And that's what's so cool about it, because when you finally start to be yourself, all of a sudden, your world starts to work for you. Because that's all that's been won anyway, for you to be. And then you say, well, who am I? Well, I tell you who you are. You are the holy child of God. You are spirit. You are unlimited. You are eternal. You are innocent. You are not a victim. You only see the past. You're the one that's giving everything all the meaning it has to you. Nothing outside of yourself is going to make you happy. No, you are totally free. There's nothing about you that's not love. You'll never be alone. I can tell you a lot of, yeah, God goes with you wherever you go. You know, you have an unlimited mind. That's the truth about you, but it's hidden behind all the beliefs that you've learned and experiences that you've had to the contrary. And now you believe in these experiences more than in your real self.
That was good.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing is just taking all this time I spent with the Course and just saying it back to you. And hopefully you'll study it and you'll get different interpretations. I'm not saying that the way it's coming through me is the only way, but I know that I have to tell you the way it's coming through me in order for me to be authentic and to fulfill the contract we made with each other, which is that you'll come here and I'll be myself. And then you trust that whatever comes through me is what you need to hear right then. And you'll judge whether or not it applies to you or whether or not you're going to use it. And you also know that my way of looking at it certainly isn't the only way to look at it. So there's no need for us to get in an argument about who's right and who's wrong. I'm just giving you another perspective. I'm not saying it's the only one. But for some people, it's going to be just the perspective they needed to release themselves from something that's been causing them pain.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm sitting up here for.
Now order the pizza.
As soon as you order it, that's a Visa, MasterCard. Put that credit card out, girl. You know money, number, metals, just paper strips, and plastic?
Yep.
Okay. Y'all know that? Money is metal, disc, paper strips, and electronic, you know, impulses. Mostly it's just, now you don't even see money. I remember the time you saw money a whole lot. Now in our society, you don't really see money that much. You're always dealing with money, but you don't really see paper money. To me, that's like such a great example of how it's just an illusion, and that it's not real. You know, it's like nothing's happening, but somehow or another, I can't seem to get enough unreality in my life. How many of y'all want more unreal money? Well, no, actually, my money is already unreal. I've already succeeded. I need some, you know, real money is knowing you're sustained by the love of God.
So the key is shifting the direction of the electronic impulse.
That's right. Yeah. So far, the electronic impulse is leading away from you. You know, that's my bank account. You know. So what do you do? Well, whenever you take whatever your overhead is a month and write it down. You know, take whatever your overhead a month and write it down. Figure out all your bills and write it down. Right. And then once you get that total, then that should be seen as giving and not paying. The Course says paying is giving. And if you saw paying as giving, you would kick in the law of giving and receiving, and you would experience the reciprocal return. Because we've already learned that giving produces receiving, but we think paying produces loss. So it says if you see paying as giving, then all of a sudden, let's say your overhead a month is $4,000, and all of a sudden you were going, you know, I'm giving $4,000 a month.
Yeah.
I have been giving $4,000 a month for the last 3 or 4 years. Add that up, and then let me see how much I have given. Because it's all consciousness, it's all thought anyway. So if you just give it a new slant, then all of a sudden, when you think about I'm giving $4,000 a month, then you'll be much more open to receiving $4,000 a month. But if you're paying $4,000 a month, you think you're losing $4,000 a month. Even though you are getting some service for that, that we forget about also.
I know.
It's not like we're paying people for something we're not getting or didn't already get. And because the people who've let us get stuff on credit cards, those people are showing us that they have faith in our future earning ability.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't let you forget that you have a future earning ability. Right? See, these are all just little simple ways you can look at it that will totally change what you're already doing. Because you're going to pay the bill anyway. You're going to pay XL anyway. So why not see it as, you know, I just gave XL $300 last month and all the little XL families feeding, getting fed because you paid XL. You know, you got to really leap to that level of consciousness where you really look at it like, I gave and I fed and I clothed and and I house, and it just make you feel so much more innocent about what you've given, and then you let it back in multiplied many, 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 many times, because the Course says whatever you give always comes back to you, but with one, on one condition, it comes back more. Then you gave it, and it comes back in the form that's best for you at that time. So I might have loaned you $5 when you needed it, or gave you $5 when you needed it desperately, but it came back to me in the form of the person picking me up when my car broke down, taking me down to the service station, but I don't see the connection between the two because I'm lost in form. Mm-hmm. Or I gave some, I helped a relative out, and it looked like they didn't treat me right, and they didn't give me the money back, but the truth is, that raise that I got unexpectedly came from that. But I'm busy looking for it to come back from the person that I gave it to because I'm off in the form. So all these people you mad at because they're not giving you something that you think you deserve, know that if you really deserve it, it's going to come back to you in the form that it can come to you. And it's obvious it can't come to you through the person that don't want to give it to you. But that doesn't mean it can't come back to you. It'll come back to you through the means that it can. And while you're busy focusing on that, you might be missing all the opportunities to get it another way because you're so addicted to getting it the way you think it needs to be gotten.
Yeah.
You cannot lose the universe. Don't worry. I'm telling you, there's a law that rules beyond anything man can do. You don't have to worry about a rapist, a murderer, a robber, a priest, a saint. Everybody is going to get what they deserve.
Yippee! My ex-husband!
Yes, that's right. Which is a healing, a correction. That's what everybody deserves. Everybody deserves to be healed. Okay, so one more time before we run for the hills. Okay, I'd rather take one paragraph and get it down pretty tight than to cover a lot of stuff that I don't remember. Okay, I don't know about you, but that's the way I look at it. Y'all with me? Okay, so we go into a situation. Okay, so if you can think about it today, realize that it's easy to fix the error of what is most obvious. Okay, and if you're really doing it right, it should be releasing me more, it should be releasing the other person more. If it looks like we're arguing all the time and we're attacking all the time, and this, somewhere along the line, we have separate goals now.
Yeah.
We don't have the same goal. And the reason why I know we don't have the same goal is because I'm not feeling joy, you're not feeling joy either. So now I'm just going to have one goal. My goal is going to be to see what you're doing as an appeal for help, to see you as calling for the help of God. That's important. You're calling, because if you see it as a call for help that you think you got to answer every call for help personally, you won't want to see nothing as a call for help because you have a hard time getting to the cleaners right now, let alone taking care of everybody else's call for help.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? First time I read the book, I came with the salvation of the world. I said, great, as if I don't have enough to do. You know, it didn't exactly thrill me, that whole Savior thing. It's like, I got enough to do without you adding being the Savior on to the rest of it, you know. So I realized that the only way I would help anybody consistently would be for me being who I am to be the thing that was helpful to them. That way I could help everybody and not feel like I'm making a sacrifice all day. And in that case, I'll help everybody. So I went, cool, Course. That makes a lot of sense. He said, so as soon as I see what you're doing is a call for help, and I recognize that it's a call for help, we now have one goal again, we have one aim again, and now our minds are joined, and when our minds are joined, that's when spirit can start doing its thing, which will be an individual thing, so I can't tell you what that's going to be from person to person, other than that you'll be guided towards your healing.
Cool.
Okay?
Yeah.
Could we acknowledge ourselves for being willing to listen to this? That's it, breaks up the energy. Yeah, that's cool. Let's get ourselves when we love somebody else together. You know what I mean? Yeah. Woo-hoo! So, now we're going to do...
We're going to give.
The money. Yeah. And I thank you for sharing with me.
No, we're paying or giving?
You're giving. Yeah. You're just giving so good. You know, you're just giving so good. Because I got some people to give to myself.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I feel good about it. I feel like it is an equal exchange of energy. I think we all have benefited. Oh! Man, let's bless it. I deserve to be paid for having fun. I deserve to be paid for having fun. I deserve to be paid for having fun. unexpected income. I now accept unexpected income. I now accept unexpected income. I now expect unexpected income. I now accept 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 unexpected income. Now. Easily. Now. So thank you for sharing. We passed that. Let's see if we got another one. She's kind of a little late.
Here you go, brother. Let's be optimistic.
Okay, next class is Wednesday at 12 noon, then Thursday at 7 o'clock. If you got course books, and if you can, bring your course books, and if you don't have them, that's okay. You're totally welcome, and you still get something out of class. But I want to start doing more and more tips and tricks about reading the course to make it easier. And so you'd be amazed at how much faster we can move if I can help you read the book and you can start doing it more on your own. Invite you to come to Unity Temple 11 o'clock. Serve us. It's a cool church. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm available for personal sessions and explains to those yellow and orange sheets that I pass out.
Got a lot of cake. A
lot of birthday cake and coffee.
If you want to take cheese for somebody else, feel free to do it. Don't think you start drinking coffee.
We're going to leave on. Okay. The thought goes like this. I am a call for love. 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 I am a call for help. I am a call for love. I am a call for help. I am a call for love. I am a call for help. I am a call for love. I am a call for help. I have a call for love. 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 My upset is my call for love. My upset is my call for love. My upset is my call for love. My anger is my call for love. My anger is my call for love. My anger is my call for love. My attack, that's my call for love. My attack, it's my call for love. So sometimes you forget to see what you do as a call for love. And you'll be more gentle on other people than you will on yourself. So I say, treat yourself as good as you treat other people. And then you'll see a big improvement in your life. Because you deserve happiness now. So may the course be with you. See you next time.
Appreciate
you.
You're blessings in my life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You are exceptional beings, I'm telling you.